Welcome to Conversatio, the Belmont Abbey podcast. This podcast aims to form and transform our community so that each of us can reflect God's image. I'm Dr. Brad Frazier. I'm the host for today's episode. I'm the director of the MBA program at Belmont Abbey College, also professor of business, and I'm joined with Dr. Mario Sicasa, licensed marriage and family therapist, and Dr. Aaron Jensen, who runs our Master of Communication and also teaches in English, social media, and digital communication program at Belmont Abbey College. And today we're excited to talk about all things TikTok. But before we get started, I'd like to ask our guests to introduce themselves and tell us a little bit about themselves. And Mario?
Oh, thanks, Brad. Thanks for having me here. Aaron, a pleasure to be part of this conversation with both of you. And like you said, I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. I've been in practice for, close to 20 years at this point, since I got my master's degree. In addition to my work in private counseling, I also have a podcast that I host called Always Hope, and I'm very active on social media. And I have a dating program called Dating Well, and I offer coaching as well through these online platforms, as well as doing marriage retreats and all the other fun stuff that I do. So I've always tried to find a balance in my work between my counseling practice together with communication side of things, whether that's doing speaking engagements, marriage retreats, or the podcast now. And so trying to have both kind of that public facing kind of dimension to the work that I do. But sincerely, all the work that I try to do is trying to find kind of the points of integration between what our faith teaches us with regards to who the person is and what marriage is and how we understand the spiritual life together with what science teaches us about good human mental health and psychology.
Great. Welcome. Yeah.
Aaron? Thanks very much. It's nice to be here as well with both of you. My name is Aaron Jensen. I teach, as we said, communication and social media and digital communication at the Abbey. I've been here for 5 years and was hired to come in and start these programs in social media and in digital communication, which I have done, and it's been fun and exciting along the way. I specifically am looking at social media from a positive end. As with any technology, there's both positives and negatives, but I am someone who I really like to focus on how can we use technology to benefit ourselves and to benefit our students and to benefit our workplace situations. And so really, I'm coming at this topic from that lens of how social media, marketing, small businesses, individuals, how we can use social media for our benefits.
Great. Well, thank you both again for being here. And TikTok, it's part of our culture. It's huge. And this issue is certainly one that's of great interest, I think, to everybody. And I've got a little bit to talk about from the business perspective. But before we get started, just wanted to throw out for both of you, for Mario and for Aaron, about what are the implications, and to give the background to make sure there is a bill which was passed just this weekend through the House about banning TikTok because of the ties to Chinese ownership and the risks. So what are the implications of that bill being passed with TikTok, and how does it impact data security, national security, privacy, and those other issues? Marty, do you want to?
Yeah.
Or Aaron?
My background is more less on, yes, I'm aware of the privacy issues. I think there's similar privacy issues with other social media accounts as well. I mean, just in general, that people are, I think a lot of times we have this idea of that I can post something and it's safe online. And we know from, as I tell all my students, as you go out there on the job market, you probably want to scrub your social medias or take yourself off of them for a while, unless you're obviously applying for social media management jobs. But I think so often we get into this sense of a false sense of security that whatever we're posting is not going to be reshared. I know I was just on X over the weekend, and a friend of mine was saying how someone had taken screenshots of one of her Facebook posts and it's been spread all over the place. And she's like, can you believe they did that? And it's like,
yes,
it's social media. People don't think about those of what they're, but you can probably talk more specifically about the security specific to TikTok.
Yeah, so I think the TikTok ban, I know we're going to talk about just also the conversation related to First Amendment. So if we take what's being communicated to us at face value, then it seems that the partnership between the owner of TikTok and the Chinese government obviously is close, because in China there are no real private companies like exist here in the United States. And so our government does not feel secure that the information that's being used on TikTok, the data that's stored on TikTok, isn't in somehow being shared with the Chinese government. And that, of course, raises all sorts of red flags, because the size of TikTok, and even particularly in America, how many people are on it, how susceptible you are to misinformation being sent or changing of minds. And so there's a whole kind of conversation related to data and security of data, and how much do we want foreign governments to know kind of what's happening within us, and what influence they have on us as well in terms of how we think about things. Or we got an election coming up this year, so obviously we're kind of on guard right now when it comes to how we use our social media platforms. So I think that conversation is happening, and I think it needs to happen, because these are clearly places where we as individual citizens can only go so far, that we do need some level of support as well. Yeah.
Well, the data that I looked at, there's 170 million TikTok users in the U.S. alone.
In the U.S. alone, yeah.
And so that's a large number.
It's like half the country, right?
Exactly. And, and it's obviously the first time that the U.S. government has proposed to shut down, a business because of this. Or, a social media app. And the implications are, you mentioned First Amendment, and I think that's probably the big elephant in the room to talk about that. Let's talk about that. There are certainly going to be challenges about the First Amendment. What are your thoughts on the implications of that for saying?
Yeah, so certainly, I'm all about free speech. I agree with free speech. I'm all for it, 100%. Yes, we need to make sure that our rights are maintained, freedom of liberty, religious freedoms, our freedom for speech, all of those, absolutely, because it is certainly in the place where conversation and engagement is the way forward. The challenge with some of this, though, is how much of these influences, whether it's coming from governments or from even the companies themselves, is in fact infringing even free speech to even happen on those specific platforms. And I think that's the conversation that needs to be had, is free speech even happening on these platforms, or how much infringement is happening? Because I've seen it even on my posts. I don't have a huge follower, I'm not massive anything, but I can tell you that there are certain posts on certain platforms that do better than others based on kind of where they lean politically.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so I've experienced, that post didn't do too well. Why? Because the algorithm that's created by these people in this company don't particularly like that this post, leans a certain way politically. Right. I mean, so part of that, I think, is part of this conversation. Does banning TikTok kind of infringe on people's First Amendment rights? I mean, I'm not a constitutional scholar, so I can't necessarily say the answer to that. If it is, though, that the larger question is about, like we said earlier, security, this is a question of national security, then certainly I think all of it needs to obviously be taken into consideration.
And I would say my fear a little bit is if we ban TikTok, where's the slippery slope on that? And I think that at the moment the idea is that if it does pass, that it's that we force the parent company to sell their to somewhere else. And again, I'm not a constitutional scholar or a business scholar. I'm an English professor. But I will say that I do wonder on some of these laws, do we have the right to force the sale of a business?
Sure.
So I think maybe less First Amendment and just more from a business standpoint, it does bring up a lot of questions now that I don't have the answers to.
Right.
But if we can force the sell of a business, is that going to impact? I mean, I think we could say any of the social medias out there that we already have, whether they're owned by Americans or not, are they safer? Or there's still often lots of international influences on any of the social media platforms.
Correct.
Or all the thousands of social media platforms that exist in other countries as well that, for the most part, we're not on because they're usually not in English. So there's I think it opens up a lot of questions without necessarily answers, but it does bring some thoughts to, what power do we have in these spheres?
Well, from a business standpoint, let me ask you, because monopolies, for example, right?
Yes.
I mean, the government steps in and says, this is your, and why? Well, because you have too much control over a sector of the market.
Free trade,
yeah. Exactly. So now there comes a point where it becomes too big that it infringes on the ability for free trade to actually happen.
Right.
So there comes a point where it is something needs to intervene for the sake of you know.
Yes.
So I don't know what your thoughts are on that, or connection.
Well, there, if you look at users right now, Facebook and Instagram are still bigger than TikTok.
Oh, so they need close.
Right. TikTok is still very much the small.
Yeah.
It's the fastest growing, but it's still.
Right.
And I think because if you look at the demographics, TikTok is very much that the young people.
It's all Gen
Absolutely. Yeah. It's not. Yeah. Yes. It's not us older folks.
It's not us.
Facebook is very right. Yeah.
It's not us older folks.
That's right.
It's
that's
not,
right.
Not, I mean, none of us here are 19.
Yeah. Yes.
Thank goodness. But right, I think. So if we look at size and TikTok, obviously, because of for the reasons that we talked about, is why it's concerning. I mean.
No, I guess my connection I was making is to the point you were saying is that, like, you're right, it's a slippery slope, but there is a point where for other issues, the government will say, like,
we have to
intervene. And so sorry to make that transition clean.
No.
But like, that's my thinking is that, like, there are certainly issues or circumstances where the government will say, like, okay, like this is infringing on something.
Mm-hmm.
And this question has never been asked, though, with regards to technology sector or social media specifically. And so the questions are being asked for the first time. Well, like, how much data is actually too much data?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And how much power do you actually have owning all that data?
Yeah.
And then who's the power broker behind that data?
Right.
And how, because now we're seeing how that information isn't just about making money for businesses with advertising, but that data is being used to sway public opinion.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's where it becomes very problematic.
Right.
And I was just saying on Monopoly and TikTok 100%. Still has a ways to go.
Right.
That was my connection.
I understand what you're going
Well, that leads me to something that I wanted to talk about as well, too, about, you know, we've seen globalization in the business world, which is the area that is my discipline, and how globalization has been pushed, how it obviously has pros and cons, but we have become globalized.
Mm-hmm.
And what does it say to international businesses who may want to expand in the United States if we have this ban? If you remember, Telegram is a company that was trying to do business in the United States and ended up moving to the UAE because of with lower government oversight. So as globalization, you know, we've seen globalization peak in the business, and we've kind of resorted back to a little bit of protectionism, a little bit of isolationism, which is very interesting to watch. So would this ban, do you think, have implications for other businesses looking to come to the U.S. or to operate in the U.S.? Is it a deterrent?
I'd like to know your thoughts on it.
You
run the business program here, and I'm going to tell what do you think about that question?
I think the term again is slippery slope. There's certainly, you know, but there's other precedents we try to, in business, not do business with or patronize companies that have human rights issues or things like that.
Correct.
So there is a precedent for doing that.
Right.
But do we want to be the country that, you know, becomes the enforcer of ownership? That's, I think, where it starts to get a little bit fuzzy, is when we're questioning the ownership of your business.
Right, can we force the company to sell?
Exactly.
And
then that, I think, ties into the First Amendment rights and things like that. I don't think it would kill, you know, U.S. businesses, but I think people will, instead of globalization where everybody was coming to the U.S. because it was such a large market, you know, what we've seen is the U.S. is our sway, if you will, has become a little bit more muted because there are these other emerging markets in India and China, these new consumers that have not purchased these things. And that is kind of, with that new market and those billions of people comes a lot of market power and a lot of market opportunity. So the U.S. is, you know, a little bit, in my opinion, we've lost a little bit of our luster as the land where everybody wants to come because this is where my business is going to be great. So it is certainly something to watch to make sure. And do you guys have any comments? My topic was great.
I don't know specifics about the Telegram kind of issue or why they, you know, moved in that direction. But I think the question you're asking certainly is, you know, what impact what does this signal, you know, to foreign? Yeah. I think the question you're asking is, what is a ban in TikTok or something with Telegram? What is a signal to foreign companies who want to do business in America? And I think it's an important question to be asked.
Right.
Again, as you said, you know, we pivoted this globalization question, and technology has just completely changed the way that we can do business.
Yeah.
it completely changed the way that we operate and do business.
Well, globalization was driven by technology. I mean, that's the irony of all this. It wouldn't have ever happened the way it happened if it wasn't for technology and the linking of all the countries.
Right.
And so now here we're on the other side about what made globalization is now, it's got a few thorny issues to think about.
It's interesting to think on the social media aspect because, you know, we obviously had where all the factories and business factories were in the United States, and then they all moved into other countries.
Yeah.
But when you think about a social media platform, there's not like a physical location.
It's virtual.
It's virtual. So how does that, right? It's just an interesting thing to think about is how does that impact, you know, is it so much that it's coming to the United States because it's a virtual entity? I mean, it brings up a lot of questions.
It does. Yeah. And those some that we won't have time to delve into, but it's certainly an issue. Well, let's talk about the business impact. You know, I've seen some commercials on mainstream television now or TikTok where I'm seeing commercials with businesses.
Yeah, absolutely.
A local small owned business here in town that I uses TikTok to get their message out. And that is what globalization is all about. Suddenly you've got an individual, a one-person shop who makes or produces something, and through the power of technology and internet, suddenly they're an international business and they can sell or ship theoretically anywhere in the world.
Right.
So I've got some facts that, you know, to about this impact, talking about this ban, about what TikTok's economic impact is in the United States. Basically, GDP contribution total, which is direct, indirect, and induced, $24 billion. 224,000 jobs, $5.3 billion in taxes that were paid through transactions. Helping small businesses in particular, which is kind of one of the things that I wanted to get into.
Yeah.
The small businesses impact was $8.5 billion, 59,000 jobs in small business, $2 billion contribution in taxes. 39% of small businesses say that TikTok is critical to their existence.
Right.
39% also say that they've been able to generate principally income from that.
Sure.
69% say that it increased their sales.
Right.
So if you're looking as a small business person at this ban, it could have a crippling effect.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, especially if your small business is being a TikTok influencer.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yes.
You know, and so because some of those small businesses, you're talking about a little shop here in Belmont Abbey that uses it. But I would imagine a large number of those folks are people who are entertainers, influencers, entrepreneurs, that are all on that space. Like myself, I'm not a TikTok. My platform particularly is Instagram and using the podcast as well. So you have to have like a pillar content space that you operate out of. So,
I just wanted to talk a little bit about why TikTok is so fantastic for small businesses.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the, if you look at the research that has been done on small businesses and marketing, the algorithms of TikTok, it's very much based off what you like.
Mm-hmm.
So if I get on TikTok and I like, let's say, I don't know, I don't like candles, but if I like candles, I don't know, cookies, baking, something like that, I start looking at those videos, then TikTok's gonna start recommending me other candle making videos or other. So that's a great way from a small business perspective that you can then get into that liking. Now there's obviously pluses and minuses to that.
Sure.
But the other thing that really is helpful on TikTok as opposed to a YouTube or an Instagram or a Facebook, to advertise on those platforms is relatively expensive. TikTok has multiple options that are all relatively inexpensive. Just last night, I went back and reviewed TikTok for Business, which is an account you can pay for, but they walk you through step by step how to use TikTok most effectively for your small business, and it is a very low cost entity that you can sign up for. But what a lot of the small businesses, the very small ones that used to use Etsy or used to use Instagram do is that they do their own social media. So they finally say, I've got my candle making business. I don't know why I'm stuck on that, but we'll just go with it. And I have an employee who's very outgoing and likes to chat. And I stick them and go, here you go. Talk through your candle making process. 30 seconds. And usually, when you look at from a marketing perspective, you look at small business, it's used as that short form vertical feed. You don't have to have a whole production set up. You can just do it in your kitchen, record your video, small amount of editing, and as long as you have someone who's personable and bubbly says things and uses humor usually, you can really then, using those algorithms of TikTok, can really, you know, go viral, expand your business. And TikTok recently has now TikTok shopping that really highlights specific businesses and small businesses. I myself have purchased several things off of TikTok shopping that I see, and I'm like, ooh, that looks interesting. Not candles, unfortunately.
Yeah, no candles. Yeah.
But Crumble Cookies, we used to have one in Belmont. It went viral on TikTok from a small, and it now has multiple franchises throughout the area. There's a lot of candy making is huge, and there's been several shops that have gone viral and has saved their business, especially during COVID. You know, making candy, how do we pull hard candy? Lots with the cooking and the candle making and the Etsy, which used to be where a lot of ones went to sell their products, has high fees, right? So if you're trying to do it on a low budget, you know, out of my kitchen per se, or out of a, TikTok is a fan. Now, there are issues with that, right? Because you've got, you know, we're not in a commercial kitchen, so can we really trust the products that are coming out? There are issues, but from a marketing social media perspective, TikTok is probably the easiest platform to get business.
Right. And you've got small businesses that can't afford a marketing department or don't have marketing expertise.
It's just one person. Yeah, absolutely.
And I think the other thing from my perspective in a teaching environment, little short clips that are, you know, 10, 15 seconds that get it are very digestible and accessible. Nobody wants to watch a 5-minute documentary on, you know, or not, I shouldn't say anything, but if they're looking to advertise, get their attention out
there. Well, Instagram and Facebook have both gone to those.
Yes.
And YouTube, clips. To the short.
Yes. YouTube shorts. Right? YouTube, Instagram reels,
absolutely.
Facebook
reels.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That go off of the TikTok
right
model.
TikTok, right. Yeah.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
If, from a business perspective, again, with that, if the ban does come into place, though, I think that businesses are pretty adaptive. So let's say this ban goes in place on TikTok. Do you agree that it may just go to another platform? And I mean, obviously, TikTok has a significant impact on the U.S. economy.
Yeah, somewhere Meta and Alphabet would be really happy.
Already
for all those users to come back onto their platforms. Yeah. You know, not that they're not on those platforms, but you see that a lot of people will create a short or a reel and then they'll post it across platforms.
Right.
And so while something may be more viral, may be suited for TikTok, what you'll see often is that a lot of that similar content will be used as a YouTube short, as an Instagram reel, you know, so you kind of get as much traction, you know, out of a piece of content as possible.
Yeah, I think what it would really hurt is the one person small business or the two or three, small businesses. I was reading an article last night about a bakery out of California that I can't remember the specific name for, that was saying that while they created their short reels and they posted across all social media, they found that 90% of their business came from TikTok and then Instagram, lastly, YouTube slash Facebook, which makes sense if we look at how it is. So I think the businesses that have enough either employees or enough money or enough economic, a lot of the businesses on TikTok are also virtually based businesses. They don't have a brick and mortar store that they're in. And so those are the ones that I think will be hurt the most by a ban on TikTok, because those are the ones that are doing most of their businesses through TikTok.
Well, it's also interesting to note that a lot of big companies use TikTok. I mean, it's not but it's put everybody on, from a business standpoint, it's put everybody kind of on an equal playing field as far as access to the world, to the worldwide web.
And what makes people go viral? I mean, the little chatty person who's going to talk about their candle making business.
That's
in
right.
Their
right.
Kitchen
that's right.
versus, you know, a larger corporation that can pay for advertising.
Yeah.
But actually, on TikTok, for the most part, the really professionally done ads are not the ones that go viral.
Yeah.
It's usually in the little kitchen, right? Ones that people can relate to them and whatever.
Yeah.
And those are the ones that are going more viral than. And if you look at some of the companies, there's PopFlex is a big yoga. She started out as a she posted tips on yoga and things like that. And now she's expanded this huge company. And but if you look back at her early ads that really helped build her company into what it is now, which is kind of yoga. She does clothing. She does yoga equipment. I mean, she would be Cassie Ho, I think is her she would be one of the examples of like right. someone yeah. who started in their basement and now look where yeah. they're multi-billion, mm-hmm. well, actually, I don't know, a million-dollar company at least.
Sure.
I
yeah.
mean, it's definitely exploded. But she really knew how to use visuals.
Mm-hmm.
She knew how to, what music to add, but it really, mm-hmm. it was in her house that she
yeah.
started
yeah.
and where
yeah.
she's now. And she continues so that advertising, mm-hmm. because that's what connects people
right.
to it. And yeah. so it is really, I really like yay, the little
yeah,
person,
the
sure, small guy sure. that's trying to,
sure.
so I really like that there's a platform
yeah,
like
yeah.
TikTok that you know, anyone can really find success.
Yes. Yeah.
Although maybe not, but
yeah,
at
yeah.
least have opportunities.
Yeah.
There have been plenty of examples of
yeah.
Small companies that have done
yeah.
very, very well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I would say, I mean, you've seen that across all the platforms, obviously.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
like YouTube has created YouTube stars. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Right, but it's
like
so much
it.
Harder now on YouTube to make
sure.
money on YouTube.
Instagram also, you know, has been another platform that people have created personalities and have created
right.
businesses, you know, that are, you know, wildly successful. And
yeah.
so TikTok, like you've been saying, creates just a different, it's both a different medium or way that the medium's being communicated,
exactly.
right? The short form
mm-hmm.
videos. And then their algorithm, you know, which is just the game changer. You know,
absolutely.
So how they get stuff out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's the next thing I wanted to talk about. I'm glad that was the great
sure.
segue what I was going to ask next. I wanted you both to weigh in on how does, you know, that we talked about you shop for candles and suddenly you're going to get a lot of content from candles or cats or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
what are the implications of algorithmic bias
mm-hmm.
With TikTok or social media in general and echo
mm-hmm.
chambers on the platform? What are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, echo chamber is exactly it. And it happens. I mean, any algorithm, you know, YouTube, whatever, it's going to think it knows what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And so you start thinking that this is just the world and everybody thinks this way.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go out and you're like, oh, wait, you're not as bad as I thought because I actually talking to a person and not just to what the talking heads said you type of people are, you know. And so it definitely creates a more narrow thinking, has the potential to create that an echo chamber, which can be self-reinforcing of our own biases and thoughts that we have. Yeah, there's lots of problems
yeah.
you know, that can come with that.
Right.
And then if what we've seen as a therapist, we know the research in terms of the amount of time people spend online. So all these platforms, again, like as well as they provide money, like we're not, I don't think that, you know, Mark Zuckerberg is altruistic or any of these
right.
people who own these companies are doing it strictly for altruistic reasons. I mean, certainly they want to help and they want to provide.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But their main goal is to try to keep us on these devices as much as possible
mm-hmm.
and to keep us on the specific platform as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is this hook that's there that has to be discussed in all of this. And
yeah.
so the need to be on it, the amount of time that we spent on it. And so it creates all sorts of problems, mental health standard wise, if we're spending too many hours, you know, on,
yes.
on it. But it plays into this question that you're asking as well, you know, which is that
mm-hmm.
it can create this environment where we now think that everything that I come to know and believe is just in the small circle of what the algorithm has told me to believe in.
Yeah.
No, I would agree with that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we see it on all social media platforms.
Yeah.
That we friend people, we follow
mm-hmm.
people, we listen to people that all are saying the same things, either from whether politically or socially or people in our peer group that maybe we are, you know, learning, people are saying things that go against our religious beliefs,
mm-hmm.
that are going against what we have, our parents are telling us. And because they're our peer group, then we start believing them, right? Because you're like, well, okay. So there's a lot of issues with that as well. I was going to say something else.
I'm sure it was great.
My brain.
Yes,
I know what I was going to say. There we go. It came back.
Okay.
And again, like I said, I focus on the positive. So
yeah.
here's my positive. And I mentioned this before we started.
Sure.
I personally have a rare food allergy that a lot of times goes misdiagnosed and often doctors don't believe us because I'm allergic to pollen of
mm-hmm.
all things. So I'm
mm-hmm.
allergic to raw fruits and vegetables.
Wow.
Right. So anyway, on that evidence, social media, TikTok in particular, has been very helpful to people will post and be like, oh, I ate a pineapple and now my face is all itchy. And we're like, yes, I know what that is.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh one, mm-hmm. there's like a group of us that will go into comments and be like, here's what it is. And we have a TikTok group and we have Facebook. And it's a way to bring people and information.
That's right.
There's all from a medical standpoint. I have a student right now working on looking up from a medical standpoint the influence of TikTok. And diagnosing correctly really rare things and misdiagnosing things as well, right? Because someone's like, well, I think I have this. And it's, of course, not because I don't trust medical. So there's the positives. Absolutely. But I do think, we talked a little bit during COVID, too, that social media, TikTok, was a way for people to connect. If you're living in a very rural town and you're really into, I don't know, something that nobody else in your town likes, it's a way to connect with other people. So I think a lot of times people are feeling lonely. Mm-hmm. Yes, partly because they are on social media all the time, but it's also a way that they can connect with others who think the way that they think and like the things that they like. So it's a both benefits as well as negatives, absolutely.
Murray, I wanted to point this kind of this last question towards you to tie this all together about what are some strategies for parents? I mean, what is the impact of TikTok on young adults, children, teenagers, and what are some strategies for parents to things to look out for and ways to handle social media?
Well, a couple of researchers that I like and respect pretty much have said under 16 kids just shouldn't be having smartphones and they shouldn't have a social media specifically. And so that's kind of a line that I've been hearing and I agree with. There's no reason for it. So I think if parents, some parents might be listening to that and they'll be like, oh my gosh, well, the cat's out of the bag. I have a 12-year-old, you know, and they have to be on Snapchat because that's how they communicate with all their friends. It's like, okay, if the cat's out of the bag, how do we kind of massage these things? Well, that's when conversations that you need to have with your kids about the dangers of the devices. It's like driving a car, you know what I mean? At this point, like we have to say, we know it's needed. We know we need it for transportation. But you got to have certain restrictions in place, you know, to be able to get you from point A to point B safely. Similar as it comes with the phone, like we know it's a necessity at this point in terms of communication for business, for a whole host of things that is absolutely needed at this point. But there have to be some level of restrictions. And so as parents, it's our job to be educators of our kids and to help them to know how to navigate the good and the challenge that's there and to try to set them up for success. So that means setting some types of restrictions, having honest conversations about what their use is online, what they're watching, content, what are they actually looking at, being engaged with that, knowing who their TikTok follower influences are, know who your kids' YouTube, what do they watch, know what those things are. Mm-hmm. And then, as I said, leveraging the devices themselves to have some type of restrictions so that you're able to kind of navigate it, you know, as appropriately as possible.
Great, thank you. Aaron, you're a parent.
I have a 12-year-old who does not have a cell phone and reminds me every day that he's the only 12-year-old in his junior high that does not have a cell phone.
And it's like, you did something right.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. But I do think I have a TikTok account and I have a couple videos of him doing Lego stuff, but I keep his face off of it, and it's more that what he's created type things. But I do think it's really important to wait until a child has as well aware of some of the security issues as well as aware. So I agree with you that 16 is probably about the same time I'll have a cell phone.
Well, thank you both. I mean, we could talk for all day about this. It's been a wonderful topic. And as we conclude, I'd like to thank our audience for joining us today. Thank you, Mario and Aaron, for being here and the great conversation. This has been really good and really, I enjoyed it very much. And if you enjoyed this episode, we encourage you to subscribe and to tell your friends. And Conversacio is available on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And until next time, God bless.